baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you're listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, our ace co-host. What's up, Goz?
What up, homie?
Not much. Been a difficult week, but we're going to put out a great show. First of all, I want to dedicate this show to my buddy Steve Straub, our buddy Steve Straub. I went to high school with him, but Goz has known him for just as long. I guess when he was coming over to the house, when Goz was a little guy and I was in high school with him, and these two went to UNLV at the same time, and or maybe a little bit of an overlap, but they were friends as well. Big loss to our family
and Junkie Nation. You know, yeah. And looking at all like the comments, half of them were people that said,
"You're right.
I met this guy through your show," and then surprisingly, like the other half were people that said, "I've heard this name so many times. And the stories surrounding
more
him.
During Tag Radio when I would have a few rants, you know,
because it felt like a loss to those people too.
Cast of characters, yeah, and he was the brother of Jason Straub, the guy that housed the show for a couple years when we first moved to Vegas. So if you guys are connecting the dots there, that's our guy. May he rest in peace. And again, this show's dedicated to him. On this show, we will talk about some of the latest news, and that's kind of what will be the bulk of this show. There have been some huge, huge fight announcements, including a big, big title fight. Also, some recent announcements. And, I think that'll do it for now. There's really no UFC show to look forward to. Sure, there's a few other organizations that things are happening with them, and we'll brush up on that. But in the meantime, buckle up. Here we go. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Thursday.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. Goes, I suppose the big news of the day is the title fight that has been booked for next February 2020, where Valentina Shevchenko will defend her UFC women's flyweight title against Kaitlyn Chookagian. React.
I like it. I think it makes sense. It's a good fight, but my thing with Valentina Shevchenko is this. Like, if you take Amanda Nunes out of the equation, I think she's pretty much the most complete, most dominant fighter, female fighter right now. And I really don't know that there are very many names other than Amanda Nunes that you can match her up against where you go, all right, we got something here. Because Valentina's just been so dominant outside of Amanda Nunes. And I feel like it's something that has to happen, but in no way does it make me think, all right, here we go. We're getting close here to the end of Valentina's run. I mean, Valentina's just a great fighter.
She sure is. And Kaitlyn Chookagian's the deserving foe for her
that's
next
nice.
Title defense. Huh?
That's what's nice about it.
Yeah, she's definitely earned the shot. The next closest, in my opinion, would be Joanne Calderwood, who's won 3 out of 4. And guess what prevents her from being able to say she won 4 out of 4? The loss to Kaitlyn Chookagian. So, far and away, the number one contender is Kaitlyn Chookagian. And they're going to mix it up in Houston, where Valentina made her home for a few years. You know, she lived in Lima, Peru for about 5 years. And that's around the time she started making her way over to the UFC. Then she lived in Houston, and now she's a resident of Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, that said, Valentina's always trodden the world, so I don't know that any home is particular home, her home for more than a week. That girl travels. She just loves to travel, and I think the UFC loves booking her, and she just does not decline that. But she lives life, man.
Yeah, the other thing that doesn't decline, it's her skill set, because you're right. She does travel all over the world. But she's able to do that because, really, when you think about it, she's not associated too much to, like, a major team, right? It's just her, her sister, and her coach. Mm-hmm. And wherever they go, that's where they train, and they train with each other. And you don't see that very much at a high level anymore. You'll see fighters that are parts of big camps and maybe don't train with everyone, like, say, the pro practice. Maybe they kind of just run their own show.
Right.
But they still, bring in some people and train with those people. Like, these two just kind of do their own thing, and she's still able to keep up her skill set like that. And that's what's so cool. She can go wherever the hell she wants, and wherever she goes, that's where she's at. That's where training camp is.
Yeah. In fact, a quick story here, not to harp too long on this subject, but when Valentina was just starting off in the UFC, she had a fight versus Juliana Pena. And in that fight, she was only about 6 weeks away from the time she took the fight. And Valentina accepted an invite from us to go to visit the troops at Fort Eustis, where, by the way, CFFC is happening on Friday. Catch it on the UFC Fight Pass. John Morgan on the call, along with CM Punk and Jessica Penne. Unfortunately, we couldn't be out there for that event. But the many times we visited Fort Eustis goes, along with the Langley Air Base, sometimes we call it JBLE. Valentina was part of that first historic tour of ours. And just to show you how this girl gets down, she accepted it. She said, the only problem is the countdown crew is going to be following me. So as long as you guys are okay with me pulling away from time to time to accommodate, you know, the B-roll that they do and sneak in a workout, I'm there. And we said, you got it. In fact, I guess I'll just pull back the curtain. Juliana Pena was actually supposed to be the guest fighter, along with Ben Rothwell, Lorenz Larkin, and Stitch Duran. And Juliana declined once the fight was made. Kind of gave us a little bit of attitude, too. Like, are you still going? I don't know. Something like, hey, are you still going? And like, what? Didn't you hear? I got a fight. You know, just one of those things. And I don't know if I'd go so far as to say, yeah, it pissed us off, so we went right to the opponent. It's just there weren't many females at the time, and we figured, well, let's just ask the opponent, who, by the way, is really more known as a Russian fighter, even though she's Kyrgyz. Mm-hmm. So just the fact that, you know, we would be taking her and her Russian-born coach to a base where they have to have security clearances. I mean, there was just
that was tough.
A lot of little side stories. Oh, yeah, and here's another thing, folks. That was on the heels of there was a shooting in Lima, Peru. So the Russian coach was involved in the shooting in Lima, Peru. So when our contact at Fort Eustis, at JBLE, I should say, is running the security, he's yelling at Goz, going, are you fucking, you know, are you kidding me here? Like, could, you know, I'm supposed to clear this guy? Because he has history. Pavel is his name. I always butcher his name, but I think it's Fatorov. Pavel is got history in the Russian army. And so when that comes across your desk, you probably think it's a joke, you know. But Pavel's a good guy. He did have a history with the Russian army. But after that, he got involved in combat sports. He's very, very close to this family for all of his life. And that shooting was in self-defense in Lima, Peru, you know. But when you see all this, I could see all the problems with him having to clear him. But
on late notice,
too. On late notice, yeah. But they did get cleared. They were there. And Goz, they must have made 90% of the events. She'd come rushing in, you know, and with a smile on her face, ready to go. This girl, I don't know if it's one of those things where she just doesn't need sleep or what it is, but I don't know what makes her tick, but she would get her workouts in. We'd see her running around the base. We'd see the camera crew following her. And I can honestly say I don't even think I've ever seen a bitchy side out of her. Like, she just doesn't have that.
No, actually, I think she only missed one event. And it was kind of like, it wasn't an event. It was just a stop I think in that whole time she was there, she only missed one. Right. And then I think she missed like a bowling, but bowling we don't have to do. You know, right. There's nothing there. But she was still able to train.
She got
able
her work to do everything. She worked it out with the
crazy,
troops.
Dude.
Yeah. That was that's our story there with Valentina Shevchenko. But Goz hit the nail on the head. She can speak, you know, the 3 or 5 different languages. And if it wasn't for Amanda Nunes, she'd probably be the big ticket. But she does have the 2 losses to Amanda Nunes. One very, very close in a title fight. Now she's got to, you know, figure this out first. I think she's got a couple of opponents on flyweight. But she's staying really busy. And I think maybe she can work herself back to one more with Amanda Nunes. Because it's 2 losses, only 1 title fight. And Amanda's going to run out of opponents. And I think Dana's going to want that. Now, that said, we also have another component, Weili Zhang. I think they're just calling her Weili right now. First of all, her and Joanne are kind of doing the call-out stuff on social media.
Joanna's a gangster, dude.
So they definitely want to get down. Yeah, Joanna said Toronto, Sri Lanka, Bangkok, or something like that.
Around.
She says, I'll paddle a canoe to get to you or something like that. And she's willing to fight, and Weili just said, "Hey, make this fight happen. I'm down. I don't know where it's going to happen or when it's going to happen, but Weili, I think, could be a really big star because of where she's from, and I'm sure Weili will want just as much of a piece of Valentina as Valentina will of Amanda. But they all got something cooking for now in their own divisions, and the closest to clearing everyone out is probably Amanda because she has been doing that for years now." And so I think she'll have a little bit of fun. Maybe she'll play around with Clarissa Shields in boxing or vice versa. She's got the featherweight division to attend to. I think Joanna and Weili just have to focus on their divisions for now.
Mm-hmm.
That card, by the way, is taking place in Houston, I mentioned, and it's on February 8th. It is a pay-per-view, and the card at this moment is as follows. It's called UFC 247, and here's what's been signed so far, if you're curious. Derek Lewis versus Ilir Latifi. That, I believe, went live after we did our show on Monday. So I don't think we've brought that one up. But Ilir Latifi's moving up to heavyweight, and I've seen him at the Extreme Couture gym recently a couple times. And I remember looking at him going, boy, that is a thick dude, you know, like...
just stocky.
Very, very stocky, very, very muscular, and... I guess right now he's just in a holding pattern at light heavyweight because there's probably like 5 fighters I could name off the top of my head that would be way closer to a title shot than him. So he probably figured now's the time. However, when you see him fight in the octagon, he looks shorter. But when I see him in person, he kind of looks Cormier-esque.
He fights shorter too.
Yeah.
You know, he gets in really close. He likes to grind up on you.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this goes for him. But if ever he was going to try that, now's the time. While Jones goes through Reyes, Anderson, Blachowicz, Santos at some point goes, he's walking around now.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a case for getting back there sooner because he took the champ to a split decision on 2 bad legs. And one of those legs was really, really bad for most of the fight. So I could see Dana White wanting to push that one. And, of course, old Johnny Walker, I don't think he's done yet. That dude was a force up until Anderson stopped him. So one other cat, too, to look out for is that Alexander Rakic cat.
Yeah.
He's pretty vicious himself. I'm jumping around in topics here. But it's Louis Latifi, OSP Ryan Spahn, Andrea Lee, Lauren Murphy, Dan Ige versus Mirsad Bektik, and Justin Toffa versus Juan Adams. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, after John Jones and Alexander Gustafsson, the first fight, it was a very close fight. The second time around, I'm sure some people were like, hey, he took him to a split decision in the first fight. Second fight, maybe he's got a good chance. How do you feel, Santos, if they were to announce, say, a year from now, that fight's happening again? Would you feel like he has more of a shot the second time around than Gustafsson had the second time around? Because the case is, a lot of people will say, John Jones just wasn't expecting it. He'll make the adjustments and he'll be fine. Which is kind of what happened in the Gustafsson fight, the second one, right?
Right. So, I want to say yes, and I'll tell you why. Because Gustafson's way of fighting is volume and technique. Santos, even if Santos were to just say, you know what, I'm a cocky SOB, I'm not even going to do a day of camp. But he shows up, makes weight. Guess what he has when he's standing across from John Jones? That power. Mm-hmm. Now, sure, the gas tank might run out in the first round because he didn't train. But he has that power. So because he has that, and I know he'll do a camp, you know, and obviously I'm joking here. So I know he'll do a camp. I know they'll do, you know, he'll have preparations. Jones is now 32. I think Jones also in his head will know, hey, this guy can crack. This guy was pretty close, you know, and with the split decision, and that was on one knee. I don't think it'll be as easy for him. You know, I think Gustafson by then had, I think he'd taken a beating from Anthony Johnson and Cormier, and you know what I mean? Like, it took a while from Gustafson 1 to Gustafson 2 for John Jones. This one would be, I'm assuming you think, like, later in 2020 possibly as the fight to make. So I think Jones would have a tougher time. That said, maybe Jones is more motivated. Who knows? But I thought Jones was already motivated because he beat Gustafson. He beat Smith. So you couldn't say, you know, ring rust. It wasn't any of that. I think he knew, you know, like, this cat was good, but he was just a little bit stubborn and struck a bit much, and he hasn't been using his wrestling as much. You may want to think about that one with Santos too if they do it.
Yeah. Well, what the hell just happened to my voice?
I don't know.
Huh. That was weird.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm back.
A quick update since I've updated the 2020, what that's looking like. That's for you Houston people. January 25th, they're going to Raleigh, North Carolina. And so far, they got Curtis Blaydes versus Junior Dos Santos, Corey Sanhagen versus Frankie Edgar, Justine Kish versus Lucy Putilova, Bevan Luvis versus Alan Amendovsky, Jamahal Hill versus Darko Stochich, Montel Jackson versus Felipe Colares, Herbert Burns versus Nate Landwehr. And there's still UFC 246, which is even earlier. On January 18th here in Las Vegas, that's got the rumored Donald Cerrone versus Conor McGregor bout. And yeah, if you click on Junkie, you'll see these things from time to time. Manager says, Dana White says, Cerrone's camp says, we're getting closer. This thing just boils down to money. I'd be shocked if McGregor doesn't fight Cerrone. But the rest of the card that I see so far is Roxanne Modafferi versus Macy Barber. Nasrat Haqparast versus Drew Dober and Grant Dawson versus Chaz Skelly. So yeah, we want to see a little bit more on that fight card there.
Needs more meat, especially if that's not going to headline, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. All right, so now I think it's a good time to go through some of these other news nuggets that we got. All right, Ghost. So we spent a little bit of time there on the big news with Valentina and the backstory there to our trip with her and her coach to Fort Eustis. And then we jumped around and started kind of bringing everybody to date on some of these fight cards. So I think what I did was I kind of killed that process a little bit. I had some fight bookings to announce, but I think I just did them. So Hannah Cyphers versus Brianna Van Buren. I don't know if I mentioned that one. If I did, I said it fast, so fast I don't realize it, but they've been added to Raleigh. Sarah McMahon goes is back. She was gone for 23 months.
Mm-hmm.
Recent baby, if I'm not mistaken. Birth of a baby. She's back against Lena Landsberg. They'll be fighting at Raleigh. I know in the process of going over the cards, I did mention Juan Adams versus that Justin Toffa guy. That one's in Houston. Then we have Brett Johns. He's set to return after a long layoff. He's fighting Tony Gravely in UFC Raleigh. Do you remember when Johns was here in studio? Didn't he tell us about a street fight and it was in front of a statue that was named after his grandfather or something like that?
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That dude was pretty cool.
Oh, man. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was the irony in his story. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson has avoided surgery. So that's good. You know, he looked good in his last fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to his next fight. And there we went through a few years before I was saying that kind of stuff. I knew Thompson was exciting. He just wasn't fighting an exciting style. But that's good to hear that after his fight versus Vicente Luque, where they went at it, man. They had apparently pain and swelling in both hands.
And before that,
They're going to be good to go. Or at least we know that Stephen Thompson is, and he's going to avoid surgery. Henry Cejudo, there's a little update on him. He had shoulder surgery in June, and he's on track to make his return March or April of 2020. Now, what we're hearing is he doesn't – I mean, what fighter does, but he really just doesn't want to cut to 125. However, I've talked to Joseph Benavidez in the gym, and he's told me that even though Henry's told him that, hey, you deserve to be next on my schedule. Because remember, he fought 35 after he fought 25. The Dillashaw fight was at 25. Then he went up to 35 and grabbed that vacant belt versus Marlon Moraes. So if you're going to be that champ guy, then you got to then go to the other division, I imagine. And you got a formidable foe that's well-deserving there in Joseph Benavidez. But because he's been also teasing, hey, I just don't want to cut, and I got these other fights out there, at bantamweight, that's where Benavidez and you all right over there? You having a stroke?
No, oh. Just my.
I caught you mid yawn, huh?
No, my jaw cracked. You didn't hear it?
No,
it like cracked really loud. Now it feels weird.
Benavidez and Deiveson Figueiredo could, you know, if he were to just say, hey, I'm done with both of these belts, then Deiveson Figueiredo and Joseph Benavidez would fight for that vacant, and then he'd move on and fight whoever the rightful opponent is at 35. But you know what I was thinking goes? Most of the time, I'm usually saying, hey, if you're a double champ, enjoy it. But at some point, make a decision, especially if you have an injury because you're holding up divisions. However, I think goes that the UFC loves marketing this guy as Triple C. Much like Valentina Shevchenko, this guy travels a lot. He's a guest fighter, or he'll just go on his own dime, or maybe the UFC dime. But he's everywhere, you know what I mean? And I saw a funny pic last night of him in first class somewhere with both of his belts. He's laying there in his airplane seat in first class. He's got both of his belts. It looks like he's falling asleep. I didn't see the gold medal, but I wonder if the UFC is like, we can't strip him. We're having a blast with him doing this, you know, until he makes his decision. While all the other fighters have to be seething, like, pick a division already, you know what I mean? Because whatever division he doesn't pick, if he picks, look, they just said March or April. Let's just say that's Benavidez. That means the bantamweight contender, Aljamain or whoever that might be, they're not fighting until July. That's a long time from now.
But whose decision is it ultimately? Like, do you feel like it's Henry's or the UFC's? I think the UFC at the
UFC's end of got to put some pressure.
This is what you're doing.
Yeah, like, we'll let you do this if you can defend them both, but you're injured. So we got to figure this out. But I
miss him, though. He's a lot more fun when he's around.
He is a character. All right, how about this controversial subject? Paulo Costa put something out on Twitter. He has since deleted it, but this is how it went down. He wrote, and you know him and Israel Adesanya do not spare words when they come at each other, but this is what he said. Adesanya is afraid. Into himself, knows. He try, looks good. But everybody so skinny and fragile as him fell afraid to fight against powerful guys. Pussy African. Now, obviously, that didn't sound like a normal sentence that most people would write. I read it exactly word for word for how he tweeted it. But I think we get the gist of what he's saying. And those last two words is what kind of had Twitter in a little bit of an uproar. Pussy African goes. What did you think of that comment? Were you, you know, I saw anything from, you know, out of line to downright racist and blah, blah, blah. But what did you think?
I think when we have these types of fighters, we all applaud them when they attempt to do things on their own in English, even if it's very basic, but it's their way of kind of connecting with the crowd. So I'm happy to see him.
When he's speaking, but when he's typing, I think he could clear that with someone.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. So I think it's one thing to do that, and then it's another to attempt to do something like typing something out. Just because you you just know, like, certain things that you say in other countries, they're just not going to translate, right? And so, yeah, I think that's something that he probably very easily could have cleared with someone. Hey, does this sound right? For instance, if I had to do something in Portuguese, it wouldn't be that hard for me to one of our ex-colleagues, Fernanda Pratas. I'd probably just go, hey, does this make sense? Before I would send it out. I think him being in a high level, a high position like he is, he probably should have done something like that first.
That's just the grammar. Mm-hmm. What about the pussy African?
Yeah, the comment's just it's not a good look. It really isn't. And in this day and age...
On the racist side or on the...
Both.
Is pussy out of line?
I mean, we've heard that over and over, but I was just going to say, like, I don't know about you, but I'm on edge on everything I say. I always, before I hit send on anything, I sit there and I think about it for a sec. Wait a minute. Is this right? Mm-hmm. Am I going to get flamed for this later on? What's going to happen here? So I do it. And if I do it, that guy's got to be doing it, you know, in his position, you would think.
Well, I heard it, you know, once I saw racist, it really made me think. Because when I first read it, I think I giggled. Mm-hmm. And once I started seeing that, I go, hold on, George, you dumb gorilla. Maybe you need to step back here and really read this, you know. And I did, goes, and I didn't see a problem with it. Now, somebody corrected him on, or somebody mentioned on Twitter, haha, wouldn't recommend picking a fight with all of Africa. Paulo Costa then says, I want to kill only one African, that skinny big mouth. Okay, so then that completes Twitter and what's been taken off and everything else. Pussy African, what would be the difference between, oh, that Brazilian big mouth's going to get it? He's mm-hmm. just describing what area of the world he's from. He wasn't specific with the actual country. He went continent, but I didn't see the racist in it at all, honestly.
I mean, there's a good chance, you know, that there probably isn't.
Big mouth American or...
But why put it out there for people to have to sit there and figure out? Like, it's not the key component in that insult.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I would have just would have used something else. I don't know, fake champion, whatever.
He could have thought it way better than what he did. That's for damn sure. But I as it stood, I just thought, man, don't point fingers and don't throw out the racist card unless you really, really got something. Because if you can say, well, look at his last 10 tweets. He tiptoes around it or something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm here to listen. But if you're just linking this tweet to me and I read this, I don't see that any difference from me saying he's a Russian chicken, he's a Brazilian big mouth, he's an fat American, whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's I don't know, I think people were reaching. That's my comment and only mine, so have at it if you want on Twitter with me or on the comment section, whatever, but I stand by it. I don't think so. I know what PC language is nowadays. Trust me, I do. I don't agree with all of it, but I do. And I'm like goes, I take a step back and try and think about what I'm going to say if I ever say it. And I've pulled a few things back. And even then, I don't know, man. Anyway, Pauly Malignaggi is interested in Jason Knight's call out. I didn't watch the fight. I was told at first that he shot it down, but I guess he's thought about it. And his what can lure him is if it's a boxing match, so more protection on the hands, bigger gloves, and he has to be compensated correctly. He did leave a quote, and in that quote he mentions David. That's David Feldman. He said, if David Feldman will allow us to box within, you know, that ring cage, whatever it is that they use over there at BKFC, he says he would gladly do it there with the big boxing gloves, but he says he's got to protect his hands and he's got to get compensated for it. Your thoughts, goes?
It's just not on the BKFC side. I think that first fight with Artem Lobov brought a lot of eyes to your sport. I think you should maybe leave it at that. Pauly and Jason Knight, especially the way Pauly wants to do it, just doesn't make sense to me. If anything, I would put all my focus in a third fight between Artem and Jason Knight. I think that would be maybe well suited for your time and efforts, because I don't know that you're going to get much out of.
There's just no bad blood. Yeah, he was very complimentary.
Just, yeah,
and that fight stunk. Honestly, I mean, towards the end it got a little exciting because Lobov turned a little bit of a corner and it looked like, hey, wait a minute here. You know what's about to happen? Even though I think everybody felt like, nah, there's no way he's going to beat Malignaggi, and he did. But we just knew that there was an Irishman watching, and he had history with
that was big
with Malignaggi, and Malignaggi had built it up, maybe a little bit of boxing versus MMA. But yeah, that fight kind of stunk. Hurt hands or no, I didn't like it. His hands weren't hurt the whole time, and even the beginning was just too strategic for me. Gloves, like, it just becomes more boxing. Yeah, I'm with you. Just give me the third match, and hey, keep building this. Keep building it using, you know, other fighters. But
boxing's not going to prove anything, though. Like, we know he's a superior boxer. We get that. You're taking a boxer and an MMA guy, and they're kind of meeting somewhere in the middle, in the sense that they're fighting bare knuckle. That's what kind of makes sense. But to do boxing in that ring, just We already know what the answer to that question is.
How about this one? Josh Thompson pitches to Gilbert Melendez a tretology in Bellator to resolve unsettled business. So we know what a trilogy is. A tretology is the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth fight. The quick history is Thompson beat him. These were all title fights. Thompson beat him the first time pretty convincingly. Melendez beat him the second time pretty convincingly. The third fight was a split decision. Melendez won. Thompson feels like he was slighted. And Thompson says, hey, look, I'm 41. He's 37. I know we're past our prime, but we're both hungry to fight each other and do this one more time. Not even a five-rounder, because it wouldn't be for a title fight, and they don't do five-round main events in Bellator. So it would only be three rounds, and they feel like it could be epic in that regard. Like, hey, look, we're going to give you all we got in these next 50 minutes. They actually fought 75 minutes, man. But let's rewind to the original question. You interested?
I can almost guarantee you it's going to happen. Interested in the sense that the night of, I'll probably tune in.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have something a little bit more pressing or something more important,
mm-hmm,
I could watch it on DVR, but I definitely want to watch it. Make sense?
Yeah. I think I'm with you. I think I would watch it live regardless, even if it was on my phone or wherever I'm at, if I'm lucky enough to put it on a television. It wouldn't stop me from making plans, but I would want to watch it, I guess. And again, it also depends on how much they build it. These fighters have to realize that. I know they say, hey, man, this is martial arts and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But okay, but not for everyone. Some of us need a little bit of that edge, you know, to see this fight and see this get settled in one way or another, because you know, oh, man, that guy's not going to take it too good if he loses. And he's got a whole country behind him, or he's got a whole set of tweets behind him, or there's a gym that he's trying to represent, whatever, a brother that he's trying to avenge, anything. That's just got to be a side plot for me. That's my palate. That's my taste. And if they can do that, then yeah, I'll probably pull out the phone even at a wedding and go, oh, here we go, you know, and sneak away. But yeah, I could see a lot of people just like you saying, nah, man, I made plans. When I get home, I'll watch it and just stay off Twitter and you're fine, you know?
What it has to be, in my opinion, is it has to reinforce a main event. So if there's a great main event, I think that's the perfect fight you put on there to reinforce that card. But if you're going to try and sell me as that's the main event of a card, then yeah, I'm probably going to have a little bit of problems with that.
Yeah, I agree. Conor McGregor is going to donate 1 million of Proper 112 sales to first responders. The first thing I want to say is, way to go, Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
That's awesome. However, I know there's a lot of people that'll go, oh, you see what he's doing? You see what he's doing? He's trying to take attention off of his personal problems. And I think that's something that people often accuse Donald Trump of. You know, he's always kind of doing smoke screens or whatever. But
I'd rather he'd be doing a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, this is awesome, but I wonder how it's going to be taken. And I hate that thought even entered my head, but that's just the world we live in.
Yeah, no, I would rather him do that than not do it at all.
But 1 year, that's awesome though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, here's a story that shocked me, honestly. You know who my favorite referee at this moment is? You know who I think is the best one, right?
Jason Herzog.
Yeah. Did you know that when UFC 245 comes along, that's the first time he'll referee a title fight?
Yeah, I never
I've seen him in a lot of big fights, and I never knew that he had not done a title fight.
Mm-hmm. And it's not even, how can I put it? Like, I would think that maybe even just the fact that, let's just say they don't think he's the greatest referee for the situation. You would think with so many cards going around the world, like eventually that would just would have happened, you know, just because you don't have enough people. But to see that that's never happened, that kind of blew me away.
Okay, how about this? How about of the fact that they're having three title fights, Herb Dean's not one of them. Mm. Is he injured or?
Nah, can't be. Or there's got to be a good excuse for that.
So the main event goes like this. Mark Goddard with judges Derek Cleary, Sal D'Amato, and Eric Colon. The co-main event, another title fight, Max Holloway and Alexander Volkanovski. That's the one Herzog's doing with judges Mike Bell, Junichiro Comijo, and Chris Lee. And then finally, the featured match, which is also a title fight, Amanda Nunes versus Jermaine Durandamy. That has Keith Peterson goes, judges Dave Hagan, Ron McCarthy, and Sal D'Amato.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, where's Herb's name in here? So that's the first thing I'm going to do after the show is look at Herb and maybe check his social media and see maybe he's getting married that day. Maybe he's got a seminar that he planned, you know, because he stays busy with that where he trains new judges and refs.
It's got to be something.
But usually,
he's one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten used to John McCarthy no longer doing it. He's out of the game. Not out of the game. He's out of the referee game. And now he's been commentating there for Bellator, but I thought Herb was pretty much always penciled in.
Yeah, I mean, He's just quickly become sort of the same way John McCarthy was the face. Herb Dean's the face, where when you introduce a casual fan, some people will know his name.
Mm-hmm. Let's close with this. Just a quick update on Anaya Blanchard, the stepdaughter of UFC heavyweight Walt Harris. The kidnapping suspect, Ibrahim Yazid, he has been denied bond and ordered to take a DNA test. We still don't have the whereabouts of Anaya Blanchard. The family hasn't given up. So when you see these stories, like I've mentioned a few times, please share them with everybody. And hopefully the young lady can be brought back to her family. I would imagine as the days go on, you know, maybe some people give up, but I personally won't stop sharing this, until receiving that type of news, but something tells me goes kidnapping. I don't know. I feel like she could still be out there somewhere, man.
Well, you hope so.
You know,
that's such a tough situation for that family. You really do hope for that.
Yeah. So folks, again, when you see those articles on Junkie, we kind of update the same thread. Just share them and on your social media, retweets, share on Facebook, whatever it takes. But help out that family. They are really, really hurting. Walt has just put his career off to the side. And you can tell that family's in a lot of pain. On the news side, that's the closure. And I just wanted to end with this. This week, although there's no UFC, there is one championship. Tomorrow, Friday, Bleacher Report Live, Facebook and Twitter. There is Cage Warriors 111. Our good friends at Cage Warriors that used to be broadcasted on MMA Junkie. They're still doing their thing. And they already released their 2020 schedule. Because it was pretty cool to just see what their year's going to look like. It looks like there's 8-10 events.
Those guys don't mess around.
And they're spread out. Yeah, they're a smooth running machine, that's for sure. They got an event on the UFC Fight Pass tomorrow. Then we got CFFC. This one's close to us. Fight for the Troops. This one's taking place in Newport News, Virginia, the home of Fort Eustis, one of the two bases we frequently visited in the past few years. And so we have a lot of friends there. We hope they have a fabulous event. tune in and check that out on the UFC Fight Pass. On the call is our John Morgan from MMA Junkie, along with UFC strawweight Jessica Penne, and former WWE superstar, and shall I say possibly current WWE superstar. Mm-hmm. Is that official that he's returning, or what's the deal?
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, he's also on the call. So I don't know how many more of these he'll be doing, because, I mean, that's a pretty hectic schedule they keep over there. Mike Rhodes versus Najim Wali is your main event for the vacant light heavyweight title. That can't be right. Mike Rhodes?
No.
Is that Mike Biggie Rhodes?
What? That's what we thought. No,
it's another Mike Rhodes. Oh, yeah, it is Biggie.
Hey.
Who knows? But I didn't think he fought that big, but maybe I'm wrong.
I was going to say, definitely check this card out, because I think you're going to be able to tie in what you see on the screen to a lot of the stories that we've talked about on our show. Watch the crowd very closely. Look at the reactions of the soldiers. Like, that's what we go through when we go visit this base. It's a base that's very dear to us. And I think if you watch this card, you'll bridge that gap a little bit. And you're actually going to probably see on your screen a lot of the names that we bring up when we talk about our trips.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is apparently taking place at 205. Okay.
Biggie Rhodes,
huh? Yeah, he's moved up. So I looked at the card, and they have 10 fights. Sorry, that's the main event. I'm not sure all of them. I'm pretty sure all of them might be on UFC Fight Pass now that I think about it. But if you go to Tapology and type in CFFC80, you'll see the whole card there. And, of course, on MMA Junkie, on our schedule, we get all the fights that they pass on to us, and we try and list them as well. So check it out. UFC Fight Pass, John Morgan on the call, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. Just to finish out the weekend, LFA 79, they've made a deal with UFC Fight Pass. They're going to be doing a show on Friday as well. Bellator Europe 6 with MVP, Michael Venom Page. Those fights can be seen on MMA Junkie.
Awesome.
Yeah, Michael Venom Page is on that fight card as the main event, so check it out. And I believe that kind of does it for this weekend's action. And that does it for us as well. So we'll see you all on Monday. And go out there and be a champion.